The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, James Millman and Sean Quinn in the studio. It's Chelmsford City and Kempton Park to look forward to on Wednesday. No jumping though. Carlisle and Ludlow already called off, and Down Royal over in Ireland abandoned as well. But still plenty to look at. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Rory DeLargy. How are you, Rory?
Not at all bad, Mark. Thank you very much.
Good. Good man. The weather's playing a bit of havoc at the moment, isn't it? It's a little bit frustrating.
It is. A gorgeous day outside at the moment, but obviously temperatures have been very cold of late, and we lost all of yesterday's jumping action, same today, and we're going the same way tomorrow, aren't we?
Yeah, it looks bleak for Thursday as well, doesn't it? Yes, but hopefully the weather will not get in the way this weekend, because we've got some good racing coming up and a few stories surrounding some of the big races at the weekend. The Betfair Hurdle is one of the big races, and Calypto, who's the 5-1 market leader with us, has been talked up by his trainer Paul Nichols, saying that they're confident that they've got him primed after his absence. He's 5-1. Activio is 7s, 12s for Faschino, Rustico. Sign of a Victory is also 12-1. 14s for Balgari, and Jolly's cracked it, as well as Pine Creek and Seedling and Snake Eyes if he gets in, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. If Calypto was to turn up on song, he'd have a pretty strong chance, wouldn't he?
He would have a decent chance. Paul Nichols knows what it takes to win the race. Was won the race in these colours before with Zarkandar as well. It's a strong looking contest. I mean, it always is. It's a hugely valuable $155,000 prize fund for the race, so it's unsurprising that it's so well contested. The going's going to make a big old difference, isn't it? I'd have thought with Newbury covering the track to avoid frost. We saw that with Sandown last week. Their midweek going description suggested it was good to soft. It ended up being very, very testing indeed. And that tends to happen when you've got the covers down, that the ground sweats a little bit. It's more likely to get testing. So it's going to count against those who need fast ground. You wouldn't say that the favourite is a standout in terms of his handicap mark at the moment, but clearly, with Paul Nichols talking him up, he's got the right sort of profile. An improving 5-year-old, only had the one run this season, that was behind Tiger Roll. But you know, Calypto looked better than the bear result that day, kicked for home too soon, looked the winner at the second last, and got worn down. He will improve a chunk on that, and that gives him a decent chance of winning it. But there are a lot of other horses with similar sort of profiles in the race. And it's going to take plenty of winning. I thought Faschino Rustico, who's been well backed for it, he ran in a novice hurdle at Newcastle this time last week in order to guarantee his place in the field. Whether that counts against him to a degree in terms of, you know, every pound counts in terms of being well handicapped at this stage. And while he's finally going the right way, he might just find that against him. Seedling for Warren Greatrix, if he lines up, is a very interesting one as well. I don't think he got the credit for winning a decent novice hurdle at Cheltenham in December. It was a slightly odd contest, but he's a horse with a very good pedigree. A lot of people will have him pegged as a heavy ground only horse. A, he might get those conditions anyway at Newbury, but B, on pedigree, he doesn't necessarily need that ground at all. Of course, he's by a fast ground Guineas winner in Cockney Rebel.
Yeah.
And there's more to come from him. It's a very, very interesting race on paper, and we'll know a lot more about it when we see the declarations.
Mm. What do you make of Sign of a Victory, by the way? Still in there at the moment. If it were to be testing, that would be a concern.
He's not going to run. I mean, he came out of the Ladbroke at Ascot because I mean, he came out midweek when the going forecast was soft. So Nicky was taking no chances with him. He essentially looks like he needs good or faster ground, to be honest. So I think his chances of running, unless connections just simply take the view, we've missed one big handicap hurdle, we can't keep missing them out with a horse who's potentially well treated off 149. But given he missed Ascot, then you'd have thought he'll either miss this again. And he didn't run to the same form at Kempton in the Christmas hurdle on tacky ground. And I would worry, even if he does turn up, he won't have ideal conditions, and I'd pass him over as a result. For all he was very impressive at Ascot, when he gets back to the spring and fastish ground, he's going to look a decent horse again.
Okay. Do you have a selection at the moment? Is there anything that stands out to you at the moment for that?
No absolute standouts in it for me. Activial would probably, who I haven't even mentioned yet, would probably be my pick. I've actually backed him for the champion hurdle, which he doesn't feature in the entries for the champion. But I thought that Harry Fry might leave him in there. He always looked like the ideal horse for this contest. Very lightly raced. He missed Cheltenham last year because Harry wanted to take it slowly with him. Had he run in the Triumph Hurdle, he'd have gone very close in that, and I think he'd have a higher rating as a result. He went very, very well in the Ladbroke, but it was a seasonal reappearance, and he just needed the run.
Yep.
But his third there was an excellent piece of form. He will improve a fair bit from that as well. And I'd like to think that he could win this race and then maybe convince Connections that he's worth supplementing for the champion itself, and that way I can at least get my stake back in that bit.
Okay. Another big race coming up this weekend. We're likely to see Koenigsegg go out of novice company and contest the Denman Chase. He's been relatively impressive so far. What do you make of him against the older horses?
I think it's a wise move, to be perfectly honest. The only downside to it is if he wins, then there's pressure for him to be supplemented for that. I don't think he's in the entries for the Gold Cup, is he? I could be wrong there, but there would be pressure on Connections to run him in the Gold Cup. And the Gold Cup is an unforgiving race for novices. Obviously, he's had a year off the track after his novice hurdle campaign, or indeed he missed half his novice hurdle campaign, having looked very good. So you could argue that had he had his time again, this would be his second season over fences, and it might just be the best time to catch him. He's got a decent chance of winning this. He's got a little bit to do in terms of the ratings, but of course he's had less chance to show what he can do over fences. And I would have thought after just the two starts, both of which were very impressive wins at Newbury, when, in my opinion, I think he would have beaten Saphir de Ruhr, who was highly touted at that stage. And then at Kempton again, Saphir de Ruhr fell behind him. But despite seeming to go very hard from the start in that race, he pulled further and further clear of his field up the straight and was impressive. And the time of that race, the Feltham, wasn't that far behind the time of the King George itself. And you would have thought the King George was run in a much more even tempo. So he might just be better than the bare form suggests. A few people will tell you need to be careful of that form because three or four horses hit the deck there. But I thought he was always in control. The only point of that race where he was in any vague trouble was in the early stages when he was taken on by Carrick Moore. And Carrick Moore is a very bold jumper as well, and he was in danger of being half length there. But once Carrick Moore came down, then Koenigsegg looked very assured. He's almost certain to lead these as well, and his best form has been shown from the front. He also looks an ideal horse for Newbury. Immediately after he won on his debut at the course, his Connections put up the Hennessy next season as his main target, a race which is his half-brother Carruthers won a few seasons ago, so that's always been on their mind. This is the ideal track for him. And with others in the race having, maybe looking at this as a prep for the Gold Cup, he'll be more primed than a few of them will, and I think he almost deserves to be favourite for it. It's difficult to know who's going to line up. It had to be reopened.
Yeah.
And whether those who've been put in the race, Holywell, I don't think Holywell will turn out. He was put in the Cotswold Chase at Cheltenham once that race was reopened and then didn't turn up on the day. And I think it's going to be a similar scenario if it's going to be soft ground at Newbury.
Yeah. Koenigsegg does have a Gold Cup entry, by the way.
He does. Well, that's, again, as I said, the slight worry is that he win this race and then they'll think, well, we must go for the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
And that might be detrimental to his career long term. But at the same time, you know, he's a horse who has had his problems, and it may be that they need to grasp the nettle while they can.
Yeah, and reports as well, as we record this, Nico de Boinville is suspended the Tranebuck AP McCoy to ride. So
I would have that as a negative. I think Nico de Boinville suits the horse brilliantly, and because Tony McCoy is a multiple champion doesn't make him a better rider for every horse. And you'll remember this, of course, the Denman Chase, and I remember when Tony McCoy came in for the ride on Denman and this one, it was the Aeon, it looked like a steering job and they ended up hitting the deck. They didn't gel. And there is the vague possibility that the Koenigsegg, who's, I think he's only been ridden by Matty Batchelor and by Nico de Boinville, might not immediately gel with Tony McCoy. Nico is a very underrated jockey, particularly on a front runner. So that's neutral at best for me.
Okay. Anything else in the news caught your eye before we move on to Wednesday's?
Yeah, actually? just a brief mention of the Game Spirit coming up on the card as well. It will be the starting point for Sarah de Grugy. for the season, who had that setback before Christmas. Gary Moore is pretty upbeat about him, says that he's ready to do himself justice, clearly not 100% fit, but he is in good shape, as well as it can get him at home, while needing this to put an edge on him. But there's been no concerns about him in terms of his physical well-being.
Yeah,
just his race sharpness. So it'd be great to see him back on track. Mr. Mole might just be his biggest danger on the day. I think this is at the Game Spirit opened, reopened as well. Not the strongest event we've ever seen. Uxie Zondra is in there, who won that race at Cheltenham that was earmarked for Sarah de Grugy, but then disappointed at Leopardstown. And Mr. Mole runs in the same colours. So whether both of those go, I would be concerned. I think only one of them will run. But Mr. Mole's form has worked out pretty well. He's been a bit of an enigma through his career, but he might be able to run the biggest challenge to Sarah de Grugy there.
Yeah, he's been a little bit of a reformed character, hasn't he, Mr. Mole, of the last two or three starts.
Well, he's one of those horses with a very high head carriage, which automatically gets crabbed, but a lot of horses with high head carriages still go through do the business. And Tidal Bay, of course, took about 8 years for people to finally give him the credit that he deserved.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's leave that there and move on to Wednesday's action. Rory's picked out three races as far as at Kempton, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, starting in the 205 at Kempton, this is a Class 7 handicap over 5 furlongs for 4-year-olds and older. Not the highest quality bunch here, Rory. What's made you pick this race?
No, we don't see too many Class 7 contests, and by definition, those who compete in them tend to be regular non-winners. There are a few here who are potentially interesting. Stud Farmer, for example, won last time out. You don't get too many horses who win the previous start who then qualify for a Class 7.
Yeah.
But that makes him vaguely interesting. Saved My Bacon. She's been well held in her last two starts, but has excuses both times. One when she was racing against the stands rail at Southall, and then at Wolverhampton last time when she reared just the stalls open and missed the break. She's better than that, and she might be able to show it at some stage. China Excels, another one who gave the impression he was coming back to form and is reasonably consistent in this grade. But the vote goes to Moscow for John Best. Very well handicapped. The horse who started last year on a mark of 62 has now dropped all the way down to 47 after a barring campaign. Now, John Best had a dreadful year in 2014 and not a much better year in 2013, to be perfectly honest. But he's recently moved yards. He's moved yards in the last few weeks. And suddenly there are signs of a revival from the yard. He's had just the one winner in that period, but he had an improved performance from a couple of runners. One yesterday who finished third at Lingfield after meeting trouble in running.
Fearless lad.
And the suggestion is that the change of staples is seeing a revival in his horses for whatever reason, and there can be sort of lingering issues with a bug in an old yard, and now the horses have moved and have had a little bit of time to settle in there. It seems to be benefiting their performances. So Moscow, who's been off the track for about 7 weeks, ran a dreadful race when he was last seen in December, but there are reasons to believe that with the tongue tie refitted, and that's part of the reason why I ran badly last time, and a draw in stall one for an out-and-out front runner, he's got every chance of leading these into the bend. And if he does, if he can see off the horse on the stall next to him, Quantum Dot, who's done his racing over further, and is also a front runner, but might just lack the basic speed of Moscow. If it beats that one to the bend, he's going to be extremely hard to catch.
Interesting stuff. So Moscow in the 205 at Kempton. The 235 is the next race you've picked out. This one is another low-grade handicap. This one's over a mile and a quarter. It's for four-year-olds and older, and 14 of them in the lineup here. Well, 13, because Focal Mare is a non-runner. But competitive stuff, this one, despite being
competitive in terms of numbers. Yeah. Again, it goes without saying that none of these are world beaters. But the one I'm interested in here is Bison Grass. A horse whose form is patchy, to say the least. He'd barely beaten a rival in four starts from last spring, but dropped a long way in the weights. He ran at Newmarket in May, for example, off a mark of 65. Finished 15th of 18 there, 8th of 9 in his next start, 7th of 13 at Lingfield in August, and then last of 7 at Chepstow, again in the late summer. He was then off until last week when he ran in a similar race over 7 furlongs here. Now he's been tried up to a mile and a half. Two of his four runs last season were at this mile and a quarter. backed heavily for a weak handicap here and ran extremely well to finish third, beating two necks, finishing best of all.
Yeah.
Give the impression there that we need at least a mile to show his best form. You step back up to a mile and a quarter here in a very weak contest. He's clearly a bit better than this grade, and the handicapper might already have raised him. I haven't checked what his new handicap mark is, but he might actually have gone up a couple of pounds for that third anyway.
It's on a mark of 50. Stayed on the same mark.
Stayed on 50. Yeah. Okay, well, that's the ceiling for this grade anyway. He's drawn and stalled 14, which is generally given as a negative at Kempton, but actually those drawn wide in big field handicaps have outperformed some of those close to the rail over distances beyond five furlongs. Furlongs is a bit of a law unto itself. But he's too well handicapped to ignore, and I think he's got every chance of overcoming that wide draw, especially in a field as weak as this. Robert Tart rides, did extremely well a couple of seasons ago on the all-weather. Would have been the leading apprentice, I think, on the surface. Struggled a little bit now that he's lost that initial claim. But interestingly, Robert's had two winners from his last five rides as well. He had a winner yesterday when he won in a photo finish, give his mount First Rebellion a very good ride. So he's got a lot of confidence now at the moment as well. Clearly, the horse is considered by his connections to be well enough handicapped to win, hence the gamble last time out. And conditions will suit him a lot better over a mile and a quarter tomorrow.
Okay. So Bison Grass in the 2.35, and the final race we're going to look at is the 4.15 at Kempton. This one is a Class 6 handicap over a mile and a half. This one's for the three-year-olds. And just starting with Naval Action here, he won with the blinkers on for the first time, two starts ago at Wolverhampton. Then he had excuses last time, didn't he? Do you see him bouncing back to winning form here, do you take him on again?
I'm taking him on again, but he was beaten by that man of mine. Last time out at Wolverhampton, what was only a four-runner affair.
Yeah.
Neither of them looked terribly straightforward in that race. That man of mine wore cheek pieces for the first time, but still hung badly right in coming to win his race. And Naval Action, who'd looked an improved performer with blinkers when winning at that track on his previous start, didn't seem to take quite so well to blinkers second time. He took a lot of driving for Luke Morris and never really looked like overhauling the winner at a very short price as well. Now, the pair of them may well fight out the finish again and we'll get to see who's got most gumption here, but I think there has to be a decent chance that they'll both be trumped by something with a bit more potential.
Yeah.
And that horse is Consortium, who hasn't finished any closer than fourth in a trio of maidens, but he's trained by David Simcock. He's bred to improve with time, and indeed he's got a physique that suggests he will improve with a break between his races. So he got three reasonably quick runs to get a handicap mark, showed ability each time, been gelded since, been given over 3 months off the track. He's an absolutely certain improver for the break, and he might just be a little bit better than the form pair in this race.
Yeah, and he's been nudged in trip every time, hasn't he? Six furlongs, seven furlongs, eight, and now a mile and a half. So do you think the extra trip's going to suit as well?
The interesting thing is, on pedigree, it shouldn't do, but the way he's raced has suggested that he will want a trip. He's by Teofilo out of a Mujadil mare, who's actually sprint-bred, but I think there are enough sort of mile and a quarter horses in the pedigree there to suggest that he will stay, and he's shaped that way in his contests. There is the possibility that David Simcock has got it wrong, but he's a pretty shrewd trainer. He's in good form at the moment as well, and he's booked Jim Crowley for the ride. There is the possibility that he might be found out by the trip, but it's interesting that this is his handicap debut, and this is the trip that David Simcock chooses for him. So it has to be the ideal scenario as far as he's concerned, despite slight concerns over pedigree.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then, Rory, if you'll spin us through your selections for Wednesday one more time.
Yeah, the selections all at Kempton. In the 2.05, I've gone for Moscow, the 2.35, Bison Grass, and in the 4.15, Consortium.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Rory. Good luck and enjoy on Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of Rory De Laghi on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Darren Owen, James Millman and Sean Quinn will be the team in the studio. We have this meeting from Kempton. We also have all of the action from Chelmsford City. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.